This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, be witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love, our greetings and salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. We pray and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to guide us, to grant us understanding and sincerity, to forgive us for our shortcomings. May Allah bless us in our wealth, in our family, in all our affairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa to those who are sick, and the rahmah and maghfirah for those who have passed away. May Allah grant us to be like this together in the akhirah, in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, this is part 3 of our series on the rizq, getting the barakah. And we last week spoke about the dangers of riba. And this is one of the reasons why our money does not go forward, is because it's tainted with riba. Whether we're receiving or paying, that this riba, one of the consequences of it is it removes the barakah from our wealth. And therefore, those of us who are in debt, you are paying more than you should, because just you're paying the riba. And we said it's a very serious, serious crime. One of the objectives of this series is, at least, at the very least, is not to condemn anyone. We all, myself included, we all, subhanAllah, we have to keep track of our finances. And we all have to ask these questions, because we live in a society where we are constantly surrounded by riba. Where is our money coming from? The job I'm doing, is it permissible? How am I spending that money? When I take debt, is it permissible? We need to ask these questions. And we've taken riba a bit lightly, too lightly. So it's one of those sins. When we look at how serious it is, many people have responded and said, I never knew it was this serious. Why haven't the imams told us it was this serious? And that's one of the things we're educating ourselves. And we ask Allah to forgive us for what we didn't know. We didn't know any better. May Allah have mercy on us. So we said, and just to summarize some of the evils of riba, we said it's one of the major sins. In fact, it was one of the 7 deadly sins that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned as the most severe of all sins. Number 1 on that list of 7 is riba. It is, the Prophet Allah in his Quran has declared war on the one who imbibes riba. And Allah has promised that there will be no barakah, no growth really in the dunya. Something else will be taken from him in the dunya. And in the akhirah, of course, the punishment is severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that the one who takes riba, he will stand on the day of Qiyamah like he is mad, or he has fits of epilepsy. And the Prophet ﷺ had also mentioned that the one who takes riba, it's worse than even committing zina with one's own mother. Subhanallah. And some of us, when we look at this, we say, but why is riba so serious? It just shows us that we have not been conscious about the severity of it. And just think of it, just one way of thinking of it. The person who committed a certain sin, he took some kind of drug, he committed some kind of zina, he knows in his mind, when I was young, I did that once or twice, and he regrets. Whereas the one who is involved in the riba transactions, while he's sitting here in the masjid, that sin is continuing. That his money is being invested, or his interest is being accrued. That 24/7, you are accruing that sin. Whereas the other sins, it happens and it ends and you make istighfar and tawbah. Whereas riba, it continues. Your money right now might be in doing something haram right now. You might be in a job where for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you're doing haram. And that's why the severity of it compounds. It compounds. So may Allah protect us and may Allah forgive us and guide us. Based on that discussion, there were a lot of questions that came in. And riba, and it's in fact Islamic finances or finances and contracts, is a very technical and specialized area of Sharia. It's a very specialized area. You need to combine a knowledge of numbers, a knowledge of business, and a knowledge of halal and haram, the Sharia, which makes it very complicated. And also in the world we live in, which is we don't deal with goats and dates and gold and these things. We deal with money. It becomes more complicated and complex. So I'm trying to answer some of the questions. Today is a Q&A session. And the questions that have come in, some questions I found interesting. And I take this very seriously, because it's not an area that I am an expert in. Yes, I have a financial background. Yes, I studied Islamic sciences, more theology. But Islamic sciences itself It's an area of specialization on its own. And therefore, the discussions I will refer back to the scholars that they have given the answer. I will relay the answers that I have researched. And I'll ask Allah to give us tawfiq and answer in that. So let's start off. First question. Is debt to begin with permissible in Islam? Can I take a loan? Is there any form of financing which is permissible? Or does Islam say, you only spend what you earn, nothing more? Is something like this even permissible? Can I borrow money from my brother? You know what? Lend me some money, I'm going to buy a car. No riba involved. Is this permissible? Yes, it is. In fact, the longest ayah of the Quran is called the ayah of debt. The longest ayah, Surah Baqarah, the longest ayah, the ayah of dain or debt. And in that ayah, Allah explains that when one person loans some money to another one, there's a procedure. You need to write this down, you need to have witnesses, so that there's no conflict afterwards. And this hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever takes people's wealth, you loan money, with a sincere niyyah that you will pay it back, Allah will, inshaAllah, Allah will assist you in paying back that money. Allah will be with the borrower until he pays off his debt, so long as it is not for something which Allah dislikes. So long as you lend money for a good reason, Allah will be with you. Of course, if you lend money and you put yourself in undue burden, this is not permissible. And inshaAllah, I won't be here next week, but we will continue with the series, and the Sheikh Abdullah Lakay will talk more about debt, because while it's permissible, it's not desirable. We should try to move out of debt. So there are du'as to recite, and there are things to do to assist you removing from debt. The next question, when we talk about riba, the answer that people give all the time is necessity. I don't have a choice in the matter. Darura. It is necessity. Now, what is this concept of necessity? We have within the Sharia a principle, a law in the Sharia, that necessity permits the impermissible, the haram. So, if a man is stuck on an island, he's about to starve to death, the only food on the island is a pig. You're allowed to eat. You'd rather eat from the pork than die. Or another, and Allah mentions this in the Quran, so Allah says, forbidden to you is to eat al-maita, dead animals, animals that weren't slaughtered correctly. And the flesh of khinzir, it's haram for you to eat that. And haram for you to eat animals who were slaughtered not with Allah's name on it. And that which has been killed by strangling, or that was hit to death by, thumped to death, or by an animal that fell and died, or an animal that was gored to death, all these are haram. You can't eat that, which has been, or an animal which is partly eaten by another animal, so this is in the Quran, unless you are able to slaughter it, and that which is sacrificed on altars for other than Allah. Also the use of arrows for luck and superstition is haram. All this is fisk. But then Allah continues, except for the one who is forced by severe hunger. So all those food substances that are haram, can't eat them. But if you are in a situation of necessity, then you're allowed, then the haram becomes halal. In fact, it becomes compulsory. Then you mustn't die, you need to eat. We have another example in the Quran, where the early Sahaba were being tortured. And they were told, just say some statement of kufr, say that I worship someone besides Allah. And Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, he was in such a severe torture that he said something of kufr. He said, yes, I don't believe in Allah. I'm not going to worship. I worship other, I accept. And he was very scared about what he said. But then Allah revealed ayah to say that this is fine. That it's okay with your heart is still at ease with iman. And what you said, you did it out of compulsion. Now, people use this ayah, these ayat, and say, for me to loan money from the bank is a necessity. If I don't do it, I'm not going to survive. Now, before you use the necessity card, then remember, this is something you and I will have to answer for by Allah. Allah is going to ask you, why did you eat from this? Why did you take this transaction? If your answer is necessity, you need to be ready to back that up. So, examples from the Sharia. It is permissible for the Muslim to eat haram flesh if he will die of hunger. Very clear. It is permissible for you to utter a statement of kufr if you are being tortured or being persecuted severely. It is permissible, for example, to deposit your money if your money, you can't leave it under the mattress, it's going to be stolen. So to put it in a bank and avoid, and it avoids, we'll talk more on this. Insurance, medical aid. Now, medical aid and insurance, if you look at the underlying transaction, many of the boxes are ticked that makes it haram. Not so much of a riba, but in terms of gambling. You pay insurance company 500 rand a month, you don't know what you're getting in return. You could end up paying 50 years that premiums and not get anything in return. Or you could pay 50 500 rand, and tomorrow you're in an accident and they must replace your entire car. There's too much unknowns. In the Sharia, you cannot buy something that you have completely you don't know what you're going to get. So I can't say, there's a rule in the Sharia, I can't tell you, I'm going to sell you whatever's in my pocket. Now you don't know if there's a sweet in here or there's a car key in here. You don't know. I'll sell it for 50 rand. This is speculation. This kind of speculation is gambling. So if you look at medical aid and insurance, most scholars have said it does not meet the permissibility, but out of necessity. Without that, you can actually die without medical aid. Without insurance, in fact, you might not even be able to get a car. So on this area, many scholars, that I'm saying this is the global view, that they've permitted it, but with extremely saying, you know what, it's not ideal, it's not where we should be, but how do you survive without it? So before you apply this rule of darura, necessity, there has to be certain conditions in place. For example, you have to be in such a severe situation that you need to go for an alternative. And this alternative needs to be better, the lesser of the two evils. That you need to weigh up the pros and the cons, and it has to be a severe hardship that you're in. Not just discomfort, it must put you in a severe problem. There should be no alternatives. So the guy who's on the island with the pig, there's nothing else to eat. It's only that alternative. The minute you have an alternative, then it's no longer a necessity. So the question usually comes in, if I don't take a bond, I will never have a house. I won't have a place to live. Now, of course, living on the street is severe. That will be a problem. But you do have an alternative. You could rent. You might not have. You can't buy the house in Bishop's Court, but you can afford a house in Athlone, for example. That you can't say is necessity. You can maybe get money in another form that is not riba based. So it is not necessity. This is the view of the scholars globally. And the view that is you can apply necessity to loan money for a house or your first house, this is a very weak view. It does not meet the criteria of necessity because there are alternatives. Also, the duration of necessity is not forever. You're only in this predicament for now. If you want to, so for example, going through the questions, someone said, look, Sheikh, I've been unlawfully imprisoned. But I'm now in jail, I need to take a bail. I need to get bail. There's no one that's giving me money. Can I loan money? Otherwise I'm going to end up in the jail, and you know what happens in jail. So this situation, we say, no, that's necessary. Now the riba is the lesser of the two evils. That's necessary. Or a person, subhanAllah, he needs an operation. No one can help him. I need this operation or I'm going to die, or I'm going to lose a limb or something. My health is at risk. Can I loan some riba based? That is necessity. But to finance your holiday or your car or your home, and these alternatives, it does not meet the definition or the criteria of darura, necessity. And also, the guy who eats pork out of necessity, or the guy who utters a statement of kufr, he does so with hatred in his heart. Whereas the person who goes to the bank, he's looking for an excuse. He wants that riba. You understand the difference here? Allah says, his heart is mutma'in, his heart is still with iman, but he does something that he hates. Many times when we talk about necessity of riba, people are not using it they're looking for a loophole and an excuse. You can already see the way it is different. So this question of necessity must be used in a very limited context. So the question that comes, can I use darura in terms of a home loan or financing my vehicle? So we could ask the question, if you did not own a house or a car, would this put you in such a degree of hardship that you cannot survive? Question. That's a personal decision, personal thing you need to ask. Do you have an alternative? That can you, without, if you don't have a house, you still need a place to live, you need a car to move around, but are there alternative forms of accommodation, of transportation? If the answer is yes, there's not necessity. Are there alternative forms of financing? So okay, I can't go to the bank who's riba based, but you've got a brother that you could ask, or you have an Islamic bank that you can ask. Is this possible? Many people say, but if I rent, I will be renting for 20 years, and I will never own that property. Whereas if I get into this riba mortgage, I will own this house after 20 years. That's not a valid excuse. But you won't die. You will survive. You'll continue. But you are substituting. You are putting your akhirah house at risk for the dunya house. You're putting yourself in this severe hardship, this severe problem. And you take all those risks, as we said, war with Allah, punishment from Allah, the all those serious things that we said, you need to make that. Again, this is a darura, is a personal decision. You need to make that choice. But it's very clear, the overwhelming majority of scholars do not deem a riba based loan for a house as darura. Does not meet the criteria. Does not meet the criteria. So questions as well. Next question. Someone asked, am I accountable for acting as surety? So my mom wants to buy a house on a riba base. That's what she's decided. I need to sign a surety. If she defaults, they're going to come after me. I'm just signing a document. Haram. Can't do that because you facilitated that thing. Someone have said, I'm a lawyer or I work in the bank or I work as a conveyancer. Meaning, I set up the mortgage. Ahmad is selling to Fatima. Fatima doesn't have the money, so she needs a loan. I'm the one that gets the loan sorted out. Am I accountable? Of course you are. You have facilitated that transaction, and you share in that sin. Even if you didn't buy or sell, you were part of initiating that transaction. And therefore, us as accountants, we need to think very carefully where we fit in here. Next question. What if the haram financing is the same or even cheaper than the halal? So many people will tell me, I've looked at Islamic financing, and it's actually more expensive. I'll end up paying more to the bank than the haram bank. Or it's cheaper, or it's the same. What's the difference? I'm paying the bank 1.5 million rand. This bank, I'm also going to end up paying 1.5 million rand for, you know, Iman Bank, whatever it might be. For me, the numbers are the same. Yes, the numbers might be the same, but the transaction is different. And that's why Allah says, those who consume riba will not stand on the day of Qiyamah except as the one who stands being beaten by shaitan into insanity. That is because they say, their excuse will be, business trade is like riba. They're the same thing. Interest and trade is the same. You know, 150 rand here, 150 rand there. You saying profit, you calling interest, it's just words. No, it's not just words. Not just words. If I loan with the Ahmad 100 rand, so he can go buy him a Gatsby, and he pays me back 120 rand, that's riba. But if I buy that Gatsby from Bismillah for 100 rand, and I sell it to him for 120 rand, this is profit. But you say, what's the difference? But the Ahmad still end up paying 120, you still end up with a 20 rand. That is business, and that is interest. Why? Just some things to think about. If I purchase that Gatsby and Buta Ahmad changes his mind, I don't want it anymore. Now I have a Gatsby. There's nothing I can do. Right? I took the risk. The business could fail. I took the risk. The bank never loses. When he finances, whether you bought that Gatsby and it was rotten or whatever, you're still paying me back my 120. No risk. I'm providing funding in the one method, whereas the other way, I'm actually entering into a business transaction. And this is what the Sharia is saying. There's a difference. The numbers might look the same. The numbers to you might look the same. But at the end of the day, there is a difference. The one bank is loan. It's got nothing to do with the buyer and the seller. It's only lending money and taking back money. The other bank is actually purchasing a house and selling to you that house in installments. The bank actually owns that house. So this is a different. There's a difference here from an accounting perspective, even though the bottom line is the same. So Allah says their excuse will be, but riba and trade is the same. And Allah says, Allah has made trade halal and He's made riba haram. So whoever has received a warning from his Lord, stop what he has done in the past, and whatever you did in the past and you stopped, then his affairs with Allah, Allah will forgive or decide his situation with Allah. But whoever returns to that, those are the ones who are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein forever. Now again, Allah used very stern language. Allah used eternity in Jahannam for a riba sin here. Khalidina fiha. This is a situation of riba. Very, very serious. Of course, our aqidah is that the one who does not, who goes to Allah without any shirk, eventually he will exit Jahannam. But Allah is saying, telling you the length of the punishment is like eternity. This again, we need to understand when we play this necessity or grey, it's permissible, or there's a difference of opinion, or there's a scholar over there, remember the risks you are taking. Next question. Well, Sheikh, what do I do if I'm stuck in a haram bond? I never knew this. No one ever told me. I took the bond out 5 years ago. I didn't know any better. What now? So firstly, we make dua and istighfar, and we ask Allah that out of an ignorance will be an excuse for some of us. We can plead ignorance on the day of Qiyamah, but we genuinely have to now feel bad about it. And we genuinely have to make istighfar and tawbah and say, Ya Allah, forgive me. And now I can't tell the bank I'm not going to pay back. Haram for me to pay interest is done. What's going to happen? That's, now it's impossible. Now it's going to be necessity. If I don't pay the bank the money, I might end up in jail. My house might be taken. Now perhaps we can argue necessity. What do I do now? In this situation, and you first try to get out of the contract. If there's a way for you to exit the contract, then exit the contract. If you can write a letter, if you can do something, you can plead, whatever it might be. And subhanAllah, I actually came across people who, in America, they would complain to the IRS, the SARS of America, and they will say, interest is against my religion. That, you know, maybe there was some timing issue, there was some interest that accrued on the account, not their fault. They said, I can't pay this interest. And they actually waived it. They said, it's fine, if that's your religion, we waived it. Allah alam, I don't think in our country, SARS will do that for you. Unlikely. I don't think the bank will do that for you. But I mean, you can ask, at least that's your excuse for the FQM. Ya Allah, I asked. They said no. The next thing that you need to do, pay this interest, pay off that debt as fast as you can. Because you will find, obviously, the longer you locked in that debt, the more it accrues. Every month is new interest. So instead of paying it off over 20 months or 20 years, try to pay it as soon as you can. Try to cut down costs. And that shows the niyyah, Ya Allah, I'm genuinely sincere. I could have gone on holiday. I could have gone purchased something of enjoyment. I left all of that and I've said, we are going to pay back this money so that we don't have to have interest. That's an indication, subhanAllah. I got people that sent me, and may Allah reward them, and may Allah bless. That shows their iman. They have said to me, Sheikh, I never knew the seriousness of this, but I've decided to cash in my pension so I can pay my house off, because I don't want to pay a cent extra interest. SubhanAllah. That level of iman, that is only from taqwa. And that person genuinely didn't know the seriousness. And we make dua that person is not held accountable. Also, alhamdulillah, we have Sharia-compliant alternatives. There are banks that have Sharia financing for your car, Sharia financing for your house. Go and speak to them and say, look, I've got a bond, I've got a car, vehicle finance, what will it cost to shift over? Even if it's more expensive, even if it means you must pay an extra year, alhamdulillah, there is no sin on you now. Now you've shifted over, the burden, this burden of the sin is to be removed. And that, inshallah, ya Allah, I paid an extra year of funding for the Sharia compliant option. That is your charity. That is your kafara. Ya Allah, I've done this, so please forgive me for my sins. Put barakah in something else. That is what it means to be a Muslim. That even though this thing harms me from a financial perspective, but because you said so, I've obeyed. And Allah, of course, Allah will not leave it like that. Allah will give you something in return. Next question. Well, Sheikh, if the entire banking system is so riba based, can I even put my money in the bank? Can I even have a check account with whatever bank, XYZ bank? The majority of the scholars are, yes, you can. It's a permissible. You allow to transact with a company that has haram products. So, for example, many companies, they will have haram business and halal business. Even the Prophet ﷺ, as we'll come to learn, he took debt from Jewish lenders. He didn't pay them interest, but he loaned money from them. Even Rasulullah was in debt, subhanAllah. The man who could raise his hands and Allah would send rain, even he was in debt. Not debt to do what? SubhanAllah, there was a time when the Prophet gave his armor as debt, as mortgage, so that he can get food from a Jewish lender. We'll come to that. It's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's permissible to take a halal product from a haram company, if we will, so long as you don't do a haram transaction. And yes, you need to be careful that your money goes into an account that doesn't earn interest. So you also, if you earn interest, it's worse. So you need to put your money in a savings account which does not earn interest. Or again, and again I say this, there are Sharia compliant accounts out there. So shift your accounts to Sharia compliant accounts. There is a small technical caveat here. You cannot, for example, so you're saying I can open an account with a bank. Yes, and I deposit my money there. But Sheikh, aren't they then taking my money and lending it out to someone else on riba? Am I not facilitating haram? We have to be careful if we directly influence. What do I mean? If we directly influence haram. You cannot sell grapes to a brewery. What are they doing with the grapes? They're making wine out of it. You know they're making wine out of it. You cannot sell weapons to a country that is committing war of atrocity. What are they going to do with the weapons? Obviously, they're going to use it in haram. So if you are sure your halal business will be used haram, you know, you can't sell to a drug dealer certain products that go into the drug manufacturing thing, if you're a pharmacist. So in those situations, if your transaction assists directly in haram, then yes, you have to hold back. But in the bank, we can say it's indirect. You never intended for them to take your money and lend it out as haram. So in this situation, again, the majority of scholars said it's permissible to put your money in the bank. Better to use a Sharia compliant account, and haram to put it in an account that earns interest. Even if you don't use the interest, just the fact that it earned the interest and you knew it and you could stop it, then you're accountable for that. Right. Credit cards. Can I have a credit card? So usually the question is, Muhammad, look, I have a credit card. I don't let it go into negative. So I don't pay interest. I never pay interest on my credit. You can do that. If your credit card is always in positive, you won't pay interest. But I need the credit card for online purchases, for certain things. I can't use my debit card. What is the ruling on this? Again, gray area. Scholars have said, it is permissible to use a credit card that is free of interest. The minute your credit card generates interest, earns interest, or pays interest, haram, it's riba. Also, there must be a reason for the credit card, a valid reason. Right? So if I need the credit card for certain transactions, I run a business, and you have to then make sure that credit card never goes into negative. So maybe set the limit on your credit card to zero, that I can never increase my spend limit. Or link your credit card to a checking account. So whenever the credit card goes down, automatically funds enter it. So you're never in negative. There is this group of scholars that have said, but the fact that you signed a contract where you said, if I'm in debt, they will charge me interest. You agreed to that? Or you're not accountable for entering that transaction to begin with? That's a valid point. And therefore, again, as always, avoid if you can. If you can't avoid, limit it. Use some form to ensure you never go into credit. It's never recommended. And also, there are brothers that tell me, I got the clothing account card because they told me, you get the card and you get 100 rand off your next purchase. My intention was never to go into debt. But with time, I saw something that I needed, and so I went into debt. Before I knew it, because of that card, because it was there, because times will be tough, and then I have access to that 1,000 rand, I overspent it, and I have a massive clothing account, furniture account, house account. And they bombard you. We all know this. All of us, weekly, you have been approved for 100,000 rand. Along with winning the lotto and your auntie that died in Nigeria, those things come through all the time. You've been approved for credit. And subhanAllah, ya ikhwan, the Prophet tells us will come in a time, the Sahaba, the time will come when for someone to maintain their iman will be like holding a hot coal. Or it will take the iman of 50 of you Sahaba to live in their time. Why? Because you are in hardship. You know, you might have been in a car accident. You might have medical bills. And there you get an SMS. You've been approved. All you need to do is click yes. It's just a hand, a touch of a finger to access all the haram. It takes that level of iman to say no. So the brother says, Sheikh, I never intended to enter this. I started just to get the voucher. I never meant to go into negative. And before I knew it, years went by me negative. I just want to pay it back and I'll cut up all my credit cards to save myself. If you know you're someone like that cannot control yourself, then don't put yourself in potential harm. Avoid it. Okay? Only if you need it and avoid it. And remember, you put yourself at risk in this. What do I do with the interest I earned unwillingly? So Sheikh, okay, so you're on the other side of it. I've earned interest in my account. I didn't mean to. What do I do with this money? Again, and this might be, maybe, so think carefully of this. If you put money in certain accounts in the bank, it might earn interest. You might have some kind of investment that you don't even know about. It's earning haram interest or haram profit. Your pension, all of us here. If you're with a company, what happens is, the company deducts some money, and they put it away towards a pension. That pension, so they give, so, you know, my company ABC, you work for ABC, we take 10% of your salary, we give it to another bank. Yeah, you invest Buta Ahmad's money, in 30 years' time when he retires, you give him the returns. Now, we don't know what the investment company is doing. They could be putting that money in SAB. They could be putting that money in all kinds. They can be putting it in the bank and earning interest. You need to ask the question, where's my pension going? You don't want to be in situation 60. When you're 60, 65, you cash out your pension. Now you realize, Ya Allah, I don't know where this money is coming from. What is haram? What is halal? What can I use? What can't I use? So if you have any form of haram profits in your account, interest or haram income, that you willingly put yourself in, then you're obviously accountable of riba and you need to get rid of it. You need to give it away in terms of charity. Certain charities accept this kind of money. I know IDP, for example, they have a cleansing mechanism. So that's, those are places you give that give it to charity and they will cleanse that thing. But the sin is still on you. That sin is still meaning you need to make istighfar. Many times we don't know. Like I said, what do we do? And therefore, you've got... If you have money to invest, well, alhamdulillah, the fact that you have money to invest, you have excess, you are very special in this day and age. You need to be very careful where you put your funds in. Pay off whatever debts first. And I think just from an accountant perspective at the moment, the economy is not great. Pay off your debts. Pay off whatever debts you have. Any excess that you have in terms of savings or inheritance, halal pension, look for permissible forms of fund, permissible forms of investment. You need to ask professional advice. Don't just click on anything and accept anything. You won't do that when it comes to your health. You won't do that when it comes to eating. You will ask advice. Look at who says this is Sharia compliant. And remember, if someone says this product is Sharia compliant, and you put your money with them and it's not, then they're accountable. It's like the MJC certificate. If you see the certificate there, and you went to eat, and there was some contamination, well, at the end of the day, on the day of Qiyamah, you were the one that put that certificate there. You said it was compliant. And so that is your excuse on the day of Qiyamah. And educate yourself. So someone will, and I have this question, okay, so I cashed out my pension. What of this? Must I give all of it away now? I've worked 60 years. I've got, you know, a million rand, whatever it might be, out of my pension. What must I do now? I don't know. Your funds, there are four types. Now you have like three types of fundings here. There is funds that you put in the capital. So every month you put 10,000 rand away. You are allowed to take all of that back. That's your cap. That's your money. So that you can take back. Any halal return, so that money, maybe it was used to buy a property. That property earned rental. That's halal. No problem. You can keep that halal returns. The haram returns, interest, anything like that, you must donate. You must get rid of it. Then you're going to have, and this is the most of the time the case, you're going to have a gray area. They will tell you, we don't know where this money came from. It's been invested for 20 years. I don't know. There's a gray area of money. Now, this comes down to the taqwa that you have. The man with taqwa will say, you know what? I'm not going to take the risk. I will donate all of that. Another man might say, you know, it's gray area. I will take 50, I'll donate 50. Some will say, just say Bismillah and eat. Well, then that's your decision to make. You need to ask your company, where are you investing my money? Which company is it with? Which fund is it in? I want to ask them, where are they putting my money? And ask your company, the company I'm at, the brothers before I joined, they were not happy with where the funds were. They asked and they shifted the pension over to Sharia compliant investments. They get the reward for all the people that were involved now coming after them. Halal money, they get the reward for that. Even though the returns are not great in the dunya, but of course the returns are great in the akhirah. Ask your company, shift us over. Maybe the brothers in your company get together and say, we want our funds to be in a halal Sharia compliant pension. And they can do it easily, no problems. So move it over. Now people ask, what do I do with this haram or grey profits? So let's say for example, Buta Ahmad, he bought a house, he's got debt. And now he cashed out his pension, he's got debts that are haram, and he's got income that's haram. What do I do with that? Do I have to give away all my haram income? Or do I have to, what must I do? So the sin of entering those two transactions are with you. The sin remains. This, just wake up for a second here. This is perhaps the most controversial question I'm going to do today. Look at this. Man says, can I use interest I earn to pay interest I must pay? You understand the situation here? I've got a bond, which is haram. But I also have pension money, which is haram. What must I do? Must I pay all that haram money in charity and then still pay the bond? I'm now getting double whacked. Can I use my haram money to pay my bond? Very, very grey. Because in a way, you're benefiting now. Scholars are split on this. If this can only be the situation if you entered the transaction already. So halal, it happened now. You can't undo it. Now, for the poor brother to pay all his haram, you know, he has a million rand. Of that, half is haram. Now he gives all that money away. Now my pension is gone. Plus, I have to pay this bond off now immediately. What do I do now? Can't I not use that haram money to pay this haram debt? Gray, my view, may Allah protect me. Yes, you can. So long as you don't benefit. Meaning, if you have half a million rand of haram pension, and you have an interest debt of 300,000, pay the 300,000, and the rest you must give away. Because if you don't, if you give all that money out of that haram money away, your interest, because you won't pay the interest off immediately, now your interest will continue. Because you can't pay all of it immediately. You've just not spent all your money in charity. So it's the lesser of the two evils. I said, and I make this point very clear, this is only if you currently, you've already done the situation, you can't get out of it now. But you can't now say, you know what, I've got a bond, I've got some money to save, I'm going to put that money in a haram investment, because that investment will make more profits, and use that profits now to pay my bond. No. Because the entering of the transaction is haram. You understand what is very clear, what I meant to say here. Of course, the higher level of taqwa is the man that says, you know what, I will pay away all my haram money in charity, and I'll pay off my bond. I will, some have, subhanAllah, have said, Sheikh, what if I sell my house, and I pay off my bond, and I move to a smaller place? That is taqwa. That is your level of taqwa. That's the best. So, be very careful in this. You cannot enter a haram transaction to benefit and to pay off haram money. Other usage, some have said, can I go on Umrah with this money now? My pension money. I want to go on Hajj. This was my Hajj. Whatever capital you put in capital money, whatever it comes out is pure halal. 100% halal. That's your money. You put it with a haram bank, they use whatever, but what you put in is yours. So that is pure halal. You can go on Hajj and Umrah with it. No problem. Build a masjid with it. Alhamdulillah. Then we said the haram money, you can't benefit from it. You must pay it. You must give it away. The grey money, the level of taqwa you have, I won't advise you to go on Hajj with that grey money. That money, we say, look, I don't know how much of it is halal or haram. That grey area, don't use that maybe for ibadah, for your Hajj especially. You want the purest money for your Hajj. The purest money for your Hajj. Is it permissible to buy things on installment? Yes, it is. So lay by without any interest is permissible, no problem. In fact, as I said, the Prophet ﷺ, Aisha says, the Prophet ﷺ, he bought some food from a Jew and he paid him later and he used his shield as mortgage. Rasulullah ﷺ, he left his shield there. And the Prophet ﷺ says, this is a dua. Sahabi came and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be, or man says, I'm a slave, I want to purchase my freedom. I want to purchase my freedom. I can't afford it. So he said, shall I not tell you some words which the Rasul ﷺ taught me? If you have debts, like the debt that you, like debts equal to the mountain of Uhud, then and you want to pay it off, then say this dua. Allahumma, O Allah, suffice me with what you have given me, so that I have no need of that which you have forbidden, and make me independent of my means by your bounty, so that I have no need of anyone besides you. So this is a dua for debt. If you'd like to take a picture, you can take your camera out. You can take a picture of this if you want to. One time I ask, allow you to take your cameras out. This is a dua for debt. If you are in debt and you'd like to remove yourself from debt, recite this dua. Put your trust in Allah. Every salah, recite this. Oh Allah, suffice me with what you've given me, make it last. And don't let me go to what is haram. And you are make me independent, Ya Allah. So you're allowed to purchase on installments. You're allowed to delay payment. You're allowed to buy a car and pay back. You're allowed to pay, instead of 100, you pay 100 rand now, or pay 10 rand over 10 months. Can you pay more? This is more for the guys who actually want to invest money. Most of us here, we are on the debt side. We're paying the debt. But some might say, look, I have money, and this is how Islamic finance works. Can I sell this phone cash 100 rand, or on installment, 10 rand over 12 months is 120 rand. Is that 20 rand riba? What is the question here? All four madhahibs agree you can do that. And this allows some flexibility in financial structures. This is why the Sharia compliant structures. So all four madhahibs, the Hanafi view, Maliki, Shafi, all of them have put their opinions here. You may sell, you might have a cash price, and you might also have a price that is delayed. That's not interest. And their argument is, well, it's like a rental. If I sell you the house now, That's yours. You use it. But if you're paying me off in installment, you're using my house still. Right? You didn't purchase the house. You only bought 10% of the house and then 20% of the house. So you still need to pay me a rental. And obviously, it must be very clear that this is rental. Even though, again, the numbers look the same. Be clear in the contract that this is installments and you're paying me a usage. You're paying me for usage. And again, some have said, this is just playing around with words. And the Sharia companies are playing around with words. That might be true. I'm not inside the industry. But remember, some mufti, maulana, scholar, imam, stamped it as Sharia compliant. If it comes out that it's not compliant, he takes the hiding on Qiyamah. Not you. Not me. So that's your that's the lowest excuse we have. Ya Allah, respected ulama have signed this off. I didn't know any better. I shifted my financing to halal financing. It wasn't the case. Well, then they're accountable. And that's your excuse. That's your excuse on the day of Qiyamah. So with these short words, I hope inshaAllah, we understand the seriousness of riba. Ask the questions of your pension. Look at your mortgages that you have, your bonds that you have. Go and phone the bank today, the Islamic bank. How can I shift over my financing to a Sharia compliant form of financing? If you can borrow money from someone, you're getting to a situation now, it's end of year, maybe you need to cancel that holiday to pay off your house. Alhamdulillah, do that for the sake of Allah. We will continue and look at ways in which we can now put barakah in our money. How that little can go far. Because remember, as I said at the beginning, when you look at rizq, don't forget ar-razaq. All of this that we're talking about belongs to Allah. He's the one that gives and He's the one that takes. Your doors might appear to be closed. The situation might look very bad. But Allah will open a door tomorrow if we are sincere. And open a way from where you did not know because you're sincere. Whatever sins we did, we ask for istighfar. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً Those who, when they have committed fahish, they committed the wrong, and they harm themselves with evil, they remember Allah and ask for His forgiveness for their sins, and none can forgive the sins but Allah. And they do not persist in what they had done, while they know. For those people who come, when they committed sins, remember Allah, feel bad and make tawbah, Allah says, for them, the reward is forgiveness. Allah guarantees He'll forgive you from the Lord. And because of that istighfar, that sin and that forgiveness, Allah promises will give them jannat, under which rivers flow, wherein they will live forever. And how excellent is the reward for those doers, those who do good. So may Allah forgive us. Ameen. Quickly. Next week I'm not here, but we'll continue with the series. Sheikh Abdullah Lakay will talk about the dangers of debt, not to be in debt. We will also, any questions, concerns, wismuhammad@gmail.com. We continue our women around the mission. So even though I won't be here, we'll be sending out the audio still. Next week Sunday will be the Rampis. This is a cultural thing for our sisters. It's only ladies only. It's the ladies get together. And the following day is the 12th of Rabiul Awal. We'll have a guest speaker here, inshallah. And those who would like to support the Rampis program, and they can make a donation as well, if they're able to do so. And then any questions, concerns, burano@gmail.com. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.